You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a Warrior waxing. Golden State locking up Luka on D. We'll show you how they shimmied their way to a game one win and what Luka should do for game two. Plus, the Butler did it in game one. So how will the Celtics respond tonight? And will they have to do it without not one, but two of their key pieces? And we'll go live to Southern Hills. You'll see Tiger Woods tee off as he seeks his 16th major title at the PGA Championship right here on Get Up. As we say welcome to you, thank you so much for joining us today. And look who we got in the studio.
Nine-time
All-Star Amari Stoudemire with us.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Loving that. Monica McNutt also with us. Brian Windhorst, Vince Carter joining us as well. What a show we got. And that's why we got to start off with the game of the night. Mavericks, Warriors, Steph, the Warriors. Dancing because they're 6-0 in this postseason, facing Luka with his game face on game one. Early in the game, Doncic working on Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins gonna swipe at the ball, and he swipes Luka in the face. Battle scars early in this one. Wiggins making his mark. Look at that catch on Luka. Final seconds of the first. Bullock getting hounded in the corner, swamped by State and blocked by Draymond Green. Dallas shot 3 of 19 from the first quarter. Most attempts by them in the single quarter. Warriors led it by 10 at that point. Second quarter, Doncic, floater, no good. Warriors push ahead the other way. Clay finds Steph, who finds threes. Like he always does. Warriors up 54-45 after the break. Third quarter, Warriors turning up the D on Doncic. Doncic, right here. Looking stripped by Curry. And now Curry going the other way. Watch the patience. Waits for him. Steps back. Three. Good. He does it so well. Golden State now up 12. Next Mavs position. Doncic. Again, stripped. This time by Draymond, who pushes it ahead. Over to Clay. Lays it in for the easy bucket. Warriors turning defense into offense. A couple possessions later. Curry, look at that pass. Over his head. Green grabs it. Over back to Curry for three. Good. High stepping, celebrating. That's what you do when you're up 17. Dude, look at him fired up. Just under 2 minutes to play, over 2 minutes to play in the third. Warriors up 19. Curry driving, off balance, good. Led all players with 21 points, 12 rebounds. Luka just shaking his head. Warriors win game one by 25 points. Here's Curry and Luka after the game.
We did an excellent job defensively, but we're under no illusion that we've figured anything out. We just played really hard and competed and tried to contest shots.
They were doing a great job for me, especially in the second half. But I think I got to be better. That's not me. And as a leader, you know, I got to be better for the whole group. So that's on me.
He's got to be better, but the whole group has to be better. Honestly, Luka wasn't at his best on either end of the floor last night. Scored 20 points on 6 of 18 shooting on offense. On defense, the Warriors 24 points on 10 of 17 shooting. When Doncic was the primary defender, Luka was also double-teamed 7 times. And the Mavericks were 1 of 5 with 4 points with a turnover on those plays. He had more turnovers than field goals in this game.
Yeah.
Not good for Luka. Amari, I'll start with you. What did you see from the Warriors on Luka?
Well, you know what? You could tell they had a solid scouting report on those guys, right? You know, when it comes to the playoffs, you have to make sure you understand your personnel and try to execute your scouting report.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that the Warriors did a good job on that because Andrew Wiggins, you know, did his homework. You know, obviously the night before the game, he watched film, he studied them. And as a team, collectively, they all really stepped up big time to try to control Luka the best way they could.
You see him right here. Luka's doing work, but they're all over him, Amari.
Exactly. You see guys are shrinking the court. You know, they're prepared. They understand what the scouting is. You see Steph now coming over from the double team from Luka's blind side. And then you see Draymond shrink the court from the corner, get that steal on her, and off to the races.
And then this, Luka driving, but again, the vision of everyone. Again,
low man rotation. You see the guys are really, you see the guy where Luka is on the basketball court, and they're making sure, and they're at a point of emphasis as they defend defensive end.
Vince, what's your biggest takeaway?
Well,
Well, our first clip, you know, made me nervous, and I saw Kavon as well as Wiggins do it. You know, Luka's great going left. It's like, wait, don't push them left. But when I noticed later on, when I saw that replay, it's a crowded side. So if you're gonna push him to his, you see, this, it made me nervous at first. I'm like, what are you doing? But you see all of the hair. Everybody has vision. Everybody, understands when Luka goes there, him left, the help. You see Wiggins here. Yes, he understands the double team's coming. Putting a body on him, not allowing Luka to dictate and be. And that's what I noticed. And of course, the third quarter offensively, it's when they took off. They got themselves rolling. They got the steal. Got Klay Thompson. Got him with the layup. Once he got that layup going. Great shooter, seeing the ball go in. Steph wasn't going great. Playing well early. Once he saw the ball go. Of course, the third quarter defense to offense turned them into a nightmare.
So critical. And we talked so much yesterday about him to be the man on Luka. But you see from those clips to team effort when it comes to the Warriors and their defense. Monica, how did Luka as you see it? Luka.
Well, Ryan and Vincent and Mary, I know you guys got NBA background, but I have really elite analysis here. This is very, very important stuff. In order for Luka to do his thing, teammates have to make shots. They've got to make sure to your point, Vince. There's all those eyes, ten on him. They're focused in so much, and have to account for the ability to knock down. So as we went through that clip, Vincent was in one side. Draymond could play him honest because he got a three. The guy that's threes couldn't be. So that too wide to shrink and that much more. But Luka in general, step back. And he'll come back. Was probably as well. That's definitely a part of the equation.
I want to add one thing to that real quick, if I may. The other thing is, you know, when you're not making shots, you see the double team. You always talk cut to get in Luka's vision. We didn't see that a lot. We didn't see a lot of guys cutting in his vision. If you look at it, the court was wide open. Nobody in the paint. So that means they're just standing around. There was no cutting. Nobody running all the way over in his vision. When, you know, you said if Draymond's gonna stunt out of the strong corner, well, guess what? That corner guy needs to step up just a little to make the pass a little easier for him. And Luka has to be willing to get off the ball right there to get it to his guys. But everybody's just standing around watching Luka do his thing.
Mm-hmm. Got to trust his teammates. And Monica, I do love that super basketball analysis. You got to make shots. Oh, yeah. But to your point of other standing around, Brunson, Dinwiddie, they really stepped up in game in the Sun series, then for 29-1. So what do you see from in game to figure it out?
The thing is, after game one, take your time. You just watch film. You got them reports, and you try ways to be dominant in your own space. I'm not concerned with Luka. He's a complete player. And when you work on your craft off season, you come the player yourself with these type of moments. And so a guy trained and he's a smart basketball player. So far as his skill set, that's going to allow him to persevere through any type of defensive coverage that the Warriors may try to bring to him next game.
This is how they did on him yesterday. Look at that graphic. Are you concerned about Luka at all, Vince?
Well, here's the thing. You're looking at this thing, and this is what I was going to bring up. This graphic, and this is what I was going to bring up, is defensively, you know, I like the aggressiveness of Andrew Wiggins. Yes, if you're guard me, I'm not gonna sit in the corner and allow to rest on defense, and then all of this energy on off. It was brought up in the telecast about Steph guarding and just sit in the corner and be the offensive player he is. They were going after him. I noticed a couple times roll. Guess backside defender on rolls. Luka, where he had multiple efforts, decision whether are you Looney going? Yes, it's Kevon Looney. Whatever, but had to help, or stay home. So he man's land, in either backside three, or up to Looney. So great job by the way of trying to put Luka in situation to for sure. I mean, there's Jason Kidd done a great job in series. So I adjustment in Mavericks too.
And so that's how they played Luka. But the other side of this, Monica, is how these Warriors played that defense leading to offense. And what impressed me so much about them is they don't need a big night. They don't need 34 points from Steph. They don't need 25 from Klay. It's like these guys can score 20 or 15. A couple guys score 15, 16, 19, thing for Wiggins. And they still get it done by 25. Team is so impressive on offense.
Seven guys in double figures, Ryan. And right, like we marvel as consumers of the NBA across the league about the Warriors system. But that was just in display last night. In terms of the ball sticking, and Draymond Green quickly, viciously hopped on set. You can see, but he talked about points of the ball. That was not for the ball. And indeed, do that. And so you already know what you're dealing with, right? But watch move. First of all, this is a watch, but it's not over. Poor Dorian Finney swapped by this Cavani. And then there's sitting and cashing in. There. This was great play on side. Who's that? Klay Thompson. That's sort of a very backdoor play by the Warriors. Klay Thompson. Munoz, free, but very defense that the Warriors. For as potential defense, Finney Smith, Bullock are good length and well. There's just no rest. It's not an ISO-based sort of offense, and so they had to work off so many screens, and that's just exhausting.
Yeah. Do you see any way that the Mavericks can beat the supporting cast? I don't even want to call it supporting cast because I don't even know who's the supporting cast of the Warriors. They're all so good.
Right. You know, it's going to be. You got to think about Steve Kerr. This guy played with the Bulls. He was with the Spurs. He saw Popovich. He was with us in Phoenix with me and Steve Nash. And so all the experiences he's as a player now as a coach and executive at the time, all is displayed now, and his teaching skills. You can see the system on display, you know, because these guys are, they know their spacing, how to sprint to the corner. It knows where each other's going to be, trust each other. And you can see type of approaching them in the play because they're very well guys that went through training and cover all they know this over and over again. They communicate out the system. So when it comes to the play, they're just playing free nature. That ball just moving. It's hard to guard.
Okay, dominating, but year before, right? The last series, he was counting down, and boy did they, here they are now. Don't expect, rubbed by 21. We'll see how that. Guys, thanks. Go to this though. What a game it was! Overtime thriller of the night. Rangers, Hurricanes, game one, round two. And it got off to a quick start. First period, Alexi Lafreniere flipping it to Philip Hedl for the one time. Boom, right in. Hedl's second career playoff goal. Rangers take a 1-0 lead. Then under 7 minutes to go in the third, Kako looking to get some insurance there for the Rangers. Misses the wide open net. The Rangers need it for the insurance. They didn't hit, so under 3 minutes to play. The Canes trying to tie it up. Jarvis to Sebastian Aho. The shot. In goal, great effort by Aho. Four tied at one with regulation. We go to overtime. And in overtime, Ian Cole was the man who sees the deal.
One timer by blocked out in front. Troop has been on a long
time. They score. Ian Cole, the veteran defenseman. Carolina win one in overtime. One.
There for the Rangers. You're veteran defenseman Ian Cole, not the guy you expect to get the game winner. But he does it. Hurricanes get the two and in game OT. Carolina late after a start. 12 of its 18 chances, and with 26 shots came after the second. Game two of the series tomorrow, Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, he got buckets in game. What must the Celtics do him down tonight? And will they have to do it with one, but of their most impeachment pieces missing? He's got an update for. Plus, Nick Saban off calling out coaches for players. Pine Bond joins us to talk about what was behind the coach's epic rant. And here's Tiger Woods live on the golf course at Southern Hills, looking to tee off at the PGA Championship round one. His round starts at 9:11, and we will have a lot more from Southern Hills right here on Get Up as we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome to the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat.
If I'm Jason Tatum, I don't think anybody on the Heat team can defend me.
Tatum, side step, three-pointer,
puts it in. What a turnaround here in this third period. This is Miami Heat Avalanche.
I don't care if it's a big stage or who's watching. I know why I do what I do.
And he does what he does. Well, looking back at game one, Miami opened the third quarter on a 22-2 run. Finished with a 39-14 and with a minute in the third. And when Jimmy Butler outscored the Celtics all by himself. Jason Tatum also had 6 turnovers in the third. Here's Coach Spo and Tyler Hero on Miami's prep for game 2.
I think we're going to have to fight for what we do, how we do it, and try to get to that more often than not. More often, but that's also why you have great players.
They're going
to
come out, desperate to get a win, try to get one on the road. No matter who's playing, so we're expecting them to come out with a lot of fire, passion, expecting them to come out desperate.
Come out desperate. How about that? Brian Windhorst joining the Brian right now. And Wendy, I want to start with you because you heard Hero. Celtics coming out desperate maybe in this game, but we're without Marcus Smart now. Horford in game. What's their status heading on game 2?
Yeah, good morning, Ryan. Al Horford is listed as doubtful for tonight's game, and that is not a surprise. Getting through the COVID protocols in just 2 days is very unlikely. There's a window where he could test out, but it wasn't likely to happen. The real drama here is whether Horford can, satisfy the protocol test before game 3. And typically, if you can't test out, you're looking at a minimum of your 5 days being out with a positive COVID test, and 5 days would include game 3. So that's what we're going to watch for there. But better news on Marcus Smart. He's been upgraded to probable with an sprained foot. I would expect him to play tonight, but how effective he's going to be, that's what we're going to watch early that game. Remember, he's also dealing with a quad injury on that right leg. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he come out and test just how good his mobility is moving side to side on that foot early in this tonight.
All right, great information, Wendy, because we're not only talking about Horford out tonight, but then also possibly for game 3, but for game Marcus Smart being back, but not being the Marcus Smart, but defensive player of the year we've seen all year. Monica, what do you make of this?
Man, I mean, I've continued to point out Tatum's reputation and Tatum responding after losses, but if you dig into those numbers a little bit, yes, the last time they lost back-to-back games that Jason Tatum was a part of was in January, but also in every game in which he's had to respond, he's had Marcus Smart or Al Horford, so that could be a poor deal. If there is no Smart, to me, there are some things that this team could use to help Jason Tatum get better looks, and that is for them to hit shots, and you look at the spacing that he had to deal with in that second half of action the other night.
Yeah, that's key, and I want to get to some tape that you have in just a second, but Amari, first I want to get to you, because this is huge. We talked yesterday about how Tatum was the primary ball handler, especially in that third, because Marcus Smart wasn't there, and we saw how that went. How big could this news be for the Celtics?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, man. Being out, being without your defense player here is a tough deal, because he's going to cover your best, you know, the best offensive player, you know, every night. And so with him not being there and being able to guard Jimmy Butler, and if he does play, we're not sure how healthy he will be in this sense. And then with Al Horford, man, that's you know, I hate to see that, because he was playing so well in his postseason so far. And I love to see him keep going. I want to see him keep going, you know, and so it's going to be tough going to be without him. But I think Jason Tatum and has to step up big time in this space, because without those two guys, he has to take more of a role in this.
Can they win this game without those two?
I think so.
I saw the hesitation, though.
Yeah, for sure hesitation. But I think they have a chance to win it. And I'm sure teammates are going to figure out a game plan to kind of help coincide the absence of Smart and Horford. So I do think the Celtics can win game two.
Never count out Udoka, but never, Monica, I want to go back to you. Monica, we're talking about how the Celtics can help Tatum tonight, especially without possibly Smart being at full strength and without Horford being there. What do you think? Horford, you have some tape.
Well, to Amari's point, the biggest thing, the game plan is they cannot team the basketball over. Jimmy Butler did not miss a shot when it started a live ball turnover, and so live fuels right into what Heat want to do. But when you heat the tape in terms of the half-court set, in the first half, Jason Tatum was far more aggressive. Now, granted, he's also being primarily defended here by Caleb Martin and some of the other guys. But here he's attacking to his left. You've got Jaylen Brown and Grant Williams, who you have to honor as three-point shooters. So I believe that's Tyler Hero or Martin at the top, and then Gabe Vincent at the bottom. You've got to honor them, so that creates a little bit of space. That was in the first half. This is in the second half. First of all, you switch up defenders. P.J. Tucker is bugging him far more. And then this screen here by Robert Williams is really just a drive-by. And because P.J. is so smart, he's going to be able to get in position. There's a little bit of help out of the corner. Tatum doesn't honor Grant Williams there. Great contest by Bam Adebayo. And again, that screen contact wasn't solid, so P.J. is able to make a heads-up play and disrupt that pass, so it ends up being a turnover for Jason Tatum. So you help Jason Tatum by acknowledging every little detail. Screen's got to be boom. You got to feel it. You got to be ready to hit shots in terms of knocking down the threes that have been a signature to the Celtics over the course of their playoff run.
You think they can win game two without two guys? Smart, Horford?
I think they can win game two if Smart plays. I don't think. I just think the Heat are playing well at home. Mm. They're playing that well. And Smart, as much as he is defensive player of the year, he also is the heartbeat and tone setter for this Celtics squad, and they need that competitive squad from him.
Wendy, give you the last word.
The Celtics were down three times in the last series. They played without injured guys throughout that series. I saw their resiliency. I saw their resiliency on the road. And Smart is going to play. He wouldn't be playing if he wasn't going to be able to give them something. So I expect him to play and contribute. So I also point out the Celtics won three of the four quarters in game one. Now, the third quarter was an unmitigated disaster, but there's definitely stuff for the Celtics to build on in this game.
I'm glad you bring that up, because in the first half, I thought they had it. A lot of us thought they had it. It was that third quarter that did them in. We'll see how they showed up in game two. All right. Well, when we come back, the Warriors showed up big time on defense against Luka Doncic last night. Did last night completely change our expert's perception for this series? We'll talk about that. And here's a live look at Tiger Woods, at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as he prepares for the PGA Championship. He's set to tee off at 9:11 a.m. We will have it right here on Get Up. The swing looking good. But there. Can't wait to see Tiger in the zone. We'll see Zach. Back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up, and we've got the game of the night. Mavericks, Warriors, East Conference Finals, Game Con, Steph and crew dancing at home this postseason. A perfect 6-0 facing Luka. And Luka early, second quarter, Mavericks trailing by 8. Floater goes short. Klay finding Steph. Who finds the bottom of the net from 3? Warriors up 54-45 at the break. Start of the third. Warriors put the D down on Doncic. Look at him getting stripped here by Curry. Watch, watch. Yep. Curry going the other way. And watch him slow it down, speed it up, step it back, and hit the 3. And genius Curry right there. Just vintage. Golden State up 12. Golden Doncic, very next play, and stripped again, this time by Draymond, who pushes ahead to Klay Thompson for the easy lay-in. Warriors turning all that defense into offense. And full possessions later, over the head to Draymond, who grabs it, gets it back to Curry, and they hit the 3. This is how good they can be when they're rolling. And getting Steph dancing it up. Warriors up 17, and then Curry off balance. Working, no problem. Curry led all players with 21 points, had 12 rebounds. Warriors win the game 112, game 87. Is the third game this postseason. And Dallas has lost in game one. No team has ever won their first 3 series of the postseason. Was trailing 1-0 each time. Only one team has won 3 series in a single postseason after losing game one. That was the game once last year. Guess what? They wanted us all. So don't count out these Mavs. They can still get things done. So let's bring in everybody to talk about this. Vince, I'm going to start with you. What adjustments do the Mavericks need to make to bounce back in game 2?
Well, I think Monica first said it. You know, they need to make shots. First and foremost, they have to make shots. They meaning the other guys and have to figure out a way to get his other guys, get Spencer Dinwiddie and get Jalen Brunson going, allowing them to hit shots, because if they hit shots, now you don't see as many eyes and bodies on Luka consistently. And I think they just need more movement. There was a lot of standing around. On your tape, Monica, there was a lot of guys just sitting around watching Luka do what Luka does and hoping he gets into the paint. And when the help side gets there, he will make the correct pass. Instead, right now, early, because you're sending the double team above the three-point line sometimes. Well, if that happens, Steph Curry has his back turned to you. You're either cutting into the paint or you're cutting up high where Luka has an outlet. So they just need to continue to give outlets and body movement for Luka and, of course, make shots.
Okay, but Monica, I look at that and I say they need to make shots, yes. They need to get more movement, yes. But I look at these Warriors, and they seem to be able to handle anything that you throw at them. Anything.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors' defense last night was impressive. I mean, Amari talked about, you could tell that Andrew Wiggins got in the lab and was studying some film in terms of habits. But again, like, he's able to key up and focus on keeping Luka in front of him so much because Luka's guys weren't hitting shots, and then Luka starts to press. So, yes, his defense was terrific, but it's kind of an ebb and flow thing, a little bit of a give and take. And so the Warriors are really connected on defense. I wonder if there's an opportunity for the Mavs. They're not going to excel in transition, but when you think about, like, back to that Jazz series, when Jalen Brunson and Dinwiddie got out, it gave them an opportunity to get some easier baskets without allowing a defense to set up in the full court. So I wonder if they look for spots to try to run with the Warriors. I know that's not Luka's thing necessarily, but they got to find some easy baskets.
Amari, you've been a superstar on a team like this deep into the playoffs. You have, not everybody has their game going every night. So if you're Luka, if you're in his situation, coming from where you've come from, how do you get guys involved in game 2? Knowing that they weren't really hitting it in game 1, and you got to win this series.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with, you know, in the postseason, teams are scouting you, bro. Like, everybody's focusing on you as a star player. And so you need your role player guys to just be ready to shoot, right? You create your lanes, you penetrate and think the ball out. Simple fundamental basketball, right? You taught this in high school, penetration. So as you continue to drive in the lane, you need your guys on the perimeter, you need ready to shoot. And when the ball come to you, knock down a shot. And the more you knock down those shots, the court now opens up and gives Luka more of a chance in the second half to dominate the game.
Yeah, dominate. Down shots is the theme here. Andy, what are you seeing?
This Mavs playoff run, this reminds me so much of LeBron in his first deep run in 2007. And watching the Warriors game plan last night reminded me of the Spurs game plan that they threw at him in those finals that year, which was playing elbows and boxes, building a wall around the paint. Here what you have, Jalen Brunson got more touches in the paint yesterday than Luka Doncic. Luka, throughout the entire postseason, averaging 16 feet on shots. Yesterday, he averaged 18 feet because that extra step back, he was just a step out of sync. The Warriors forced the Mavericks into 37 three-pointers in the first half. They only averaged 39 three-pointers in the last series. So everything with the Mavericks was really just a little bit uncomfortable because of how much it was focused on Luka. But Luka is a great player. He will adjust to this. He will get better from it. He will realize he needs to dive in there and get into that paint and make the three-pointers kick and miss instead of passing around the outside. This is still going to be a very competitive series, even with as well as the Warriors executed their game plan in game one.
Okay, I have no doubt, Vince, that Luka is going to come back with something to contrast it, something to do here. So when you look at Luka yourself, again, being a superstar in this league, how do you come back from that kind of performance, seeing what the Warriors were throwing at you to try to dominate and get your teammates involved in game two?
Well, I'm going to say one thing. If you're taking the ball in net every time, you're giving the Golden State Warriors an opportunity to set their defense. So it's going to be tough. And the way the Warriors' defense were locked in the game plan, you can't play against that, and you can't do anything with that. So I had a similar situation against playing the Knicks, and one thing for them, getting stops, getting out and running, getting the ball ahead to Jalen Brunson, where now everybody's trying to get back into transition, get back into defense, trying to find Luka where he can kind of break his guy down, get to his mid-range, as well as Spencer Dinwiddie. Two good one-on-one players when they're in rhythm. Well, get them the ball where they can kind of get out and create. Then if nothing's there, you kind of move the ball. Now Luka's possibly getting the ball on the second side with a lot of dribble. Now he can scan and see the defense as they're shifting to Luka. So there's a lot of things that can happen with just a simple pass ahead. Two guys that are capable of scoring one-on-one, well, in second side can alleviate some of that pressure with a lot of dribble for Luka.
That's a great point. Let's see if they put that in action in game two. Meanwhile, let's go back to East, because Jimmy Butler again, dropping 41 in the Celtics in game one. So what does he have for encore? Butler's been unstoppable as of late in the last five games. He's averaging 34 points on 56% shooting. And I say that because it's incredible. I mean, it's incredible the things he is doing. Monica, as simply as I can put it, why is Jimmy Butler so good right now?
Okay, hold on, Ryan, because I had our stats and research team. Because I wanted to know, too. So we need to look at some stats. Jimmy Butler, yesterday, he did not miss a shot that started on a live ball turnover. He was 6 of 6 on open shots, and he was 6 of 13 on contested shots. And the Heat as a team shot 5 of 9 on possessions that started from a live ball turnover. And so we continue to say this. The turnovers were a huge part of that third quarter run, and that literally is like blowing fire onto Jimmy Butler and enabling him to get going. Now, I think he's playing such a great ball right now that if it does come to a half-court offense, we saw him target Peyton Pritchard, look for the mismatch, and he was able to get to the free throw line where he had almost half of his points. And so he's focused. He's playing for another level, and you can see where it energizes tremendous confidence in the rest of that roster. Nobody has really talked about the 15 points and the big-time steal that Gabe Vincent came up with, being a guy that got to start in Eastern Conference Finals that was undrafted, which is a huge deal. So Jimmy Butler's attitude and mindset had oozed down and trickled through this team, and you can see the confidence that the Heat are playing with.
And, Wendy, when you talk about Jimmy Butler's confidence, you've covered him for years. You're covering these players right now. You're covering the Heat. What are you seeing in Jimmy Butler right now that we don't always see in the regular season? Because I don't think that people talk about him, this transcendent superstar, but right now it feels like he is.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Butler plays chess. Okay. During the regular season, he has nagging injuries. He really wants to get healed up. He doesn't have the same intensity during the regular season, doesn't have the same focus. Not that he's unfocused, but you can see how he changes everything in the playoffs. The other thing is he's a defensive playmaker. You know, Luka Doncic and Andrew Wiggins were tied basically in points last night. Luka Doncic is not a defensive playmaker. Jimmy Butler is a defensive playmaker. He steals, he gets blocks. He can do so many things to create on both ends of the floor. So a two-way player in the playoffs is so valuable. The second thing is Jimmy doesn't do things he doesn't want to do. I know that sounds very basic, but he's not a great three-point shooter. So he doesn't shoot them. He shoots mid-range shots. He hunts mid-range shots. And like in game one, he recognized that the officials were calling fouls. So he was like, okay, you're going to call fouls. One official in particular seemed to be calling a lot of the fouls. He would drive that official's side, and he kept getting to the foul line. He's going to outthink you. He's going to be more focused, and he's going to be tough. He is a quintessential playoff player.
It's that genius basketball IQ. So he's talking about how great of a two-way player Jimmy Butler is. Do you think he's in the conversation to be one of the best two-way players in the NBA right now?
Absolutely correct. I mean, you can think about this guy, man. He's nothing to be a defensive player. You know, and you can tell he's a seasoned vet. Like, he takes his time on the basketball court. You can't speed him. He knows what else to get on the court. He knows his teammates. And being able to change the game defensively is important. Like Monica was saying, you cannot turn the ball over. And Jimmy Butler's looking for steals. He's looking for those plays to change the game. And it also helps when you're in that nice, warm Miami Heat. You know what I'm saying? It's like the weather's great down there. Your body feels so much better.
You play better when the climate's warmer? Is that how it works?
That's how it works, man. He's proving it. He's doing great out there. I love to see him out there playing both sides of the basketball court.
Well, if that's true, how did Vince play so well in Toronto for all these years?
I turned him to turn the heat up inside. That's why, Ryan. Come on, man. I said, it doesn't feel like 40.
Oh, man. Vince, real quick. What do you expect?
Go ahead, Brian. He's on to something. When I covered LeBron playoff games in the arena, LeBron would have cramps in the playoffs, so it would turn the temperature. I swear to God, it was in the low 60s in that building. It's much warmer in the arena now that Jimmy Butler's on the show. I don't know. I'm just going to say that's actually true.
Wow. There you go.
It's good for the body. Yeah. It gets you going. That's true.
So there you go. You want to be a superstar, play somewhere warm. That's the formula. We figured it all out. All right, guys. We have game two of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN in the app. The Heat lead the series. One game to none. Our countdown crew gets things started at 8 Eastern. The chase for the cup is on. And the Oilers played the Flames last night, second round, game one, the Battle of Alberta. There it is. Within a minute in the first period, Flames are already up 1-0. And then watch this. Mikael Backlund over to Andrew Mangiapane, who scores downstairs. Two goals in 51 seconds. Fastest two goals to start a playoff game in NHL history. Flames up 2-0 with less than a minute into the game. Middle of the second, Matthew Tkachuk nails it. By the crease, Flames up 6-2. Oilers fans, they're losing hope. I'm sorry, honey, but don't worry. Get 6 minutes to go in the second. Oilers down 6-3. Zach Hyman, nice wraparound goal for the Oilers. Now they're down 6-4. So we go early third period. They're down 6-5. Connor McDavid, Kyler Yamamoto, the game time goal right there. Unreal. When do you see this kind of scoring, especially in the playoffs? Less than 2 minutes later, Flames looking to retake the lead. Rasmus Andersson, and put it in. Back and forth we go. Flames up 7-6. 2 minutes left in third. Flames up 8-6. Trying to put it away. Tkachuk, empty goal, and hat trick to boot. What a game it was. Flames win 9-6 to take the 1-0 series lead. Game two of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals tomorrow night on ESPN and the app. Our coverage starts with Rangers Hurricanes 8 Eastern, followed by that battle for Alberta between the Oilers and the Flames. So coming up, Nick Saban, he's in hot water. He's on the warpath for calling out fellow coaches for paying players. Paul Feinbaum joins us to discuss what's behind the coaches' epic rant. And here's a live look at Tiger Woods at the Southern Hills. At Southern Hills, getting ready for the PGA Championship. Tiger teeing off at 9:11 a.m. You're going to be watching it right here on Get Up. Tiger, game face on. Rain to go at the PGA Championship, and we will have it here. We'll be right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today. Andrews, we're hitting the road with a whole crew.
I'm the most biased person on this panel.
So get ready for some special guests. At what point did you know?
Yeah,
all the breaking news.
There's a growing confidence that Joel Embiid will be back.
And of course, unforgettable moments. Is that my watch? No. I guess that says it all. Join us for NBA Today weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN.
Welcome back. Time now for your wake-up call. It comes courtesy of Clark Kessler, Warriors Mavs, Steph Curry, Vintage. Take a listen.
Accelerates, can't get by Doncic, over the head, flings it out to Green, finds the relocated Curry for three. Unbelievable, another triple. Curry's dancing on the floor, and J.K. needs a timeout.
Well, they certainly do, and Luka's got to refocus. Most of their problems have been Luka Doncic.
Mark Kessler, Coach P.J. Carlissimo on the call. Steph Curry did a little bit of everything last night. Curry led both teams in points, rebounds, and assists in game one. According to Elias, this was the first time in his postseason career that he's led both teams in all three categories. Hey, let's turn now to college football, because this got interesting. Alabama head coach Nick Saban went right after one of his main rivals last night, calling out Texas A&M, quote, buying its top-ranked signing class. Saban last night was touching on the impact of name, image, and likeness. Take a listen.
We were second in recruiting last year, and A&M was first. A&M was every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. I mean, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future, because more and more people are doing it. So it's tough.
Wow. Wow. How about that? Bringing in Paul Feinbaum. Bringing talk about that, our ESPN football analyst. Paul, what is your reaction to Saban and these comments and calling out Jimbo Fisher and calling out Texas A&M?
Ryan, I am gobsmacked by what he said, because I haven't heard him insinuate that privately. But for Nick Saban, the greatest coach of all time, to go public and accuse one of his biggest rivals of essentially cheating, although that's open for interpretation, is really stunning. He has insinuated this in the past, but one thing you have to remember about Nick Saban, he always is complimentary toward everyone else, even when you know it's passive-aggressive. But this was way off script. He's been leading toward this for some time, but that volcano erupted last night.
It sure did. How worried do you think Saban is that this could impact Alabama's dominance?
Well, I think he's very worried. Let's remember a couple of things. He lost to Jimbo Fisher last year in College Station, first time he never lost to one of his assistants. He lost a national championship game to another assistant. And now you have a new force in recruiting. Some people will say, well, Alabama has everything going for them. They do. They put more players through the pros. They do this. They do that. However, they do not have as deep a pocket to buy players as Texas A&M. Texas A&M is an oil-rich state. Alabama is not. And I think that's really concerns Saban here. These new collectives are way too complicated to explain in a short period of time, are giving boosters the right to go out and bring players in, even though it's technically against the NCAA rules. But Ryan, guess what? No such thing as NCAA rules anymore. It's the wild, wild west. The NCAA really doesn't care, despite what they say. So if you want to cheat, it's open season.
Man. Where are we now? And I'm so glad you made that point about Alabama. I have to admit, the first time I heard this sound, I'm like, you're calling Texas A&M out for buying players. You do the same, wouldn't you be in the same position? It's interesting to see the diversity in terms of who has what kind of money. Saban also called out Jackson State and Deion Sanders. Take a listen to this.
We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it.
And so you better believe Coach Prime responded to that. You best believe I will address that lie, capital letters lie, Coach Saban tomorrow. I was awakened by my son, Shaysor Sanders, that sent me an article stating that we paid Travis Hunter Jr. $1 million to play at the school. We as a people, do we have to pay our people to play with our people? Paul, what do you make of Saban calling out Deion Sanders?
That's even more surprising than what I just got saying about Jimbo Fisher. So why are you going after Deion Sanders? He took that from Florida State, his own alma mater, Ryan. That's a stunning comment. Well, that's really interesting about Nick Saban, who just turned 70. He's giving newspapers credibility. I worked at a newspaper for 30 years. Nobody ever gave us credibility. So Saban is basically saying, I read it in the paper, therefore it is true. He has no earthly idea whether Jack State bought that player or not. I think that was really an unbelievably stupid comment by Saban. It was egregious, and there's no way of knowing whether that's true or not.
Real quick, Paul, you think he tries to walk any of this back?
How can you? I mean, you can you know, over the loudspeaker, clean up on aisle three, but then you have to go to aisle four, aisle five, aisle six, and aisle seven. This is an absolute disaster for Nick Saban. He cannot clean it up. He said it. He owns it.
I cannot believe it, and I have to ask myself, why now? Why did he say it? But I'm sure we will find that out very soon. Paul Feinbaum, always great to talk to you, my friend. Take care. I want to give you a live look at Tiger Woods turning to golf at Southern Hills. He's preparing for the PGA Championship out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tiger saying he can compete. He feels like he can compete this weekend. He's teeing off at 9-11. You'll never count him out to win. But it'll be interesting to see how he performs over the next 4 days. We'll have him live here on GetUp.